Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jameis Winston with the performance of the weekend. Broussard's dark horse MVP lighting up Aaron Rodgers, the defending MVP, and the Green Bay Packers. We don't forget here, Broussard, the Browns oh so close to a win in Arrowhead again. Could yesterday's loss to the Chiefs actually be a good thing for Cleveland with Nick muttering under his breath? And Mac Jones with his first touchdown. Here, have it. I don't want it. You take it. Mac Jones does not want to keep his first touchdown ball. Good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, my guy Kevin Wilds. I'm Jenna Wolf. Wilds, what's up with Mac?
Focus, Nick.
This is historic. You keep the ball.
Well, me and Mac Jones are too focused to celebrate. It's a big football Monday, but no smiles out of Mac Jones and no smiles out of your old buddy Kevin Wilds. Let's start the show.
All business. All right, we'll get to that business in a second. Oh, biggest story out of the NFL, though, this weekend. Packers, Saints, the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, getting outplayed in every which way by a guy who actually played like an MVP, Jameis Winston. Jameis, ridiculously effective, tossing 5 touchdowns, only 148 yards passing. How about that? And here's the best part, 0 turnovers. Biscuit, no risk it for Jameis. And that Saints defense picking off Rodgers twice. Head coach Matt LaFleur said his team was absolutely embarrassed yesterday. Here's how Aaron Rodgers described it.
It's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game. We got 16 to go. We're coming off a couple of NFC championship games. And obviously feeling good about the unit that we have on offense. That's what we talk about a lot. So this is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
All right, Broussard, Aaron Rodgers saying it is just one game, but did all the off-season turmoil, all the noise we heard with the team, the traveling back and forth to Hawaii, all of that, did that lead to Rodgers' disastrous week one?
I do think it contributed at least a little bit, Jenna. Number one, he skipped the off-season program, so you didn't have that. And clearly his mind was elsewhere. Nick told us last week, while Tom Brady was working on getting his 8th Super Bowl ring in the offseason, some quarterbacks were off on a beach drinking Mai Tais, and that's what Aaron Rodgers was literally doing. All right, so I just think, look, he contemplated retirement. He looked at working for Jeopardy. He tried out for that. So his mind was elsewhere. He also looked at playing for other teams or thought about it. So at that point, I think it at least contributed to what we saw yesterday. He's always been haughty. We know Aaron Rodgers has always been arrogant. But the way he strutted into training camp, it was like the savior has arrived. So he talked in his press conference about, you know, them coming off 2 NFC championship games, and maybe they went in there a little arrogant. None more arrogant than Aaron Rodgers. So when he says this was a kick in the pants, I think he meant it was a kick in the pants, not only for everybody else, but to wake him up as well, Nick. The bottom line is this. You cannot, after an offseason of demanding a trade, after an offseason of trying out for the host of Jeopardy, after an offseason of complaining about how you don't get enough say in the front office, after an offseason in which you sit down with Aaron Andrews and say, I've got nothing left to prove on the field, and then you contemplate retirement, you can't come out with a stinker like he did yesterday.
Yeah, so the short version is Aaron Rodgers had the worst game of his career after the worst offseason of his career. So I think it would be foolish for us to act like those two are totally unrelated events. The likelihood, most likelihood, is that one at least slightly contributed to the other. And obviously, I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers personally and professionally, and I have consistently, pretty consistently, supported him in his battle with the Packers. With that said, I thought the Aaron Andrews interview was a mistake. And by the way, credit to Aaron and the whole Fox team for getting it. That's their job, right? And good job by them. But I thought Aaron's press conference, when he came back to Green Bay, answered all the questions. He was so transparent. One of the reasons I thought he took that tact was so he could then be like, all right, I've answered everything. Now we're moving on. But he then continues to relitigate it somewhat via his weekly hits with Pat McAfee and now right before the game with Aaron. And I, obviously he didn't do the interview right before the game, but he knows when it's airing right before the game. And Wilds, that to me then puts the added pressure on him that he must perform at an MVP level. The trump card Aaron had throughout this entire offseason is, guys, what did I do right after you drafted my replacement? Oh, I had probably the second best season of my career and ran away with league MVP. Well, that goes away quickly when you are, it's not just that they got annihilated, it's that that first pick we're showing, the one in the red zone, they were in the game. They played as badly as you can play, right, in the first half. Still, it was 17-3 at halftime. You're getting the ball. This is to make it 17-10. And instead, picked goes the other way. The Packers defense forced a stop, and on the very next drive when it's 17-3, he throws essentially a Hail Mary interception on third down that gets returned to the 15-yard line. So it was the worst game of his career, Wilds, after the worst offseason of his career. So yeah, he's got to wear this one for the next 6 days.
Okay, so how much? What percentage of this game and Aaron Rodgers' performance are you willing to put on the offseason turmoil, Broussard? Because if it's more than 1%, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the fact that he threw an interception. He's like, oh, what about potent potables? And he throws like, oh, I got to get focused, Aaron. Don't stop thinking about Jeopardy. My God. And like everyone's out there saying, like, you can't do it. You can't talk about Michael Jordan in the Last Dance and then put up a stinker like this. You can't do it. Like, yeah, you can. Because it's literally what Michael Jordan did. They did the big Last Dance, and Michael Jordan lost the first game to the Celtics, and they started the season 4-4. So, like, it happens. Aaron Rodgers is allowed to have a bad game. Maybe it's 1%. But then I also don't know, like, why he played so bad against the Bucks last year. He was horrible then. We're trying to, like, figure it out. We know he has started slow. I think it's okay. I think people are now blowing it too big of a proportion, trying to make a causality that isn't there. The Saints played amazing. Aaron Rodgers does not play defense. The Saints scored on 6 of their first 7 drives and took advantage of 2 rookie guys starting on the offensive line for the Packers. So, yes, it was a weird offseason. Maybe he was drinking Mai Tais. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was playing a ukulele a little bit too much. But I think it's just 1%. 99% was just poor play, and the Saints playing great.
Wilds, I thought you were my PR manager, not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, my goodness. Yeah. What a defense. What a defense. I mean,
he
cannot come out and do this. And it was more than 1%. I'm not going to make too big of a deal out of it, but I'm going to say it was 10%. And here's what I wonder. This is just, I'm wondering, things that make me go, All right, Nick, you mentioned it, that maybe Rodgers has put too much pressure on himself. All right, I have said, when is Aaron Rodgers a different quarterback? When the pressure is on.
You say that
he is the best we've about the best we've ever seen in the regular season. Yeah. But in the NFC Championship games, he's not horrible, but he's different. 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in his 5 NFC title games, which is huge for a guy that never throws interceptions. In never his 20 picks, playoff games, point. Nick, in his career, 20 playoff games in his career, he's got 3 interception games. And while you brought up last year When was his? He had two interception game last year. When was it? It was against Tampa Bay. Yeah. Pressure, because it's Tom Brady. I'm just throwing that out there because Nick brought it up. Maybe he is feeling the pressure after that offseason and all that.
So I don't think Rodgers is a guy that doesn't respond well to pressure, but I do think that he has shown, and there's no perfect players, that he is a guy who will allow his team to let go of the rope. And so, and by that I mean this, they've only lost 7 games since Matt LaFleur has taken over as the head coach. It's pretty remarkable in the regular season. Yet 3 of those 7 have been dog walkings, just annihilations by 28 plus points. The first year together, San Francisco annihilated them on national television. Last year, remember how they just let go of the rope against Tampa. And then yesterday, that interception, that the second pick, when he's just basically punting it from the end zone, that to me is letting go of the rope. So I do think that one of the knocks, you know, our friend Colin has on Aaron is that he's great at, you know, from ahead. But when things get tough, he's like, all right, we'll go get him next week. I think that is fair. Yep. Also, Jenna, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention on Broussard's first Football Monday in the first segment, he worked in Haughty and a Salt and Pepper reference. This is why, I mean, he's a man of multi-talents. It's really exceptional.
You are a man of multi-talents.
Really, really well done.
CNC.
You'd be remiss to not mention that. I'd be remiss, and all that said about Aaron Rodgers, you got to give Jameis Winston some credit. He came out, he showed up, he was named the starter. God. He acted like
Jameis.
Kudos
later.
To Jameis Winston.
It's the most overrated
kudos
thing
to the Saints.
I've ever seen.
I had to say
I don't have to give him credit.
You gave Salt and Pepper credit. You got to give Jameis Winston credit. Back talking to Wild One at Arrowhead yesterday. You guys see this? Nick, you didn't see this, probably. Browns proving yesterday the Chiefs can be beat. They can be beat. Oh, yeah. There's a blueprint out there,
just
Nick. We'll discuss it next. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Browns Chiefs.
Yeah.
A little too close for some, I would imagine. Yeah. This came down to the wire again.
Never in doubt.
Patrick Mahomes.
Nope, never a doubt.
Tossing touchdowns. The Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in the fourth quarter to take the lead. One last chance for the Browns, but Baker, what are you going to do, buddy? Come on, be the hero. You didn't get paid. Gets picked off by Mike Hughes. Broussard, the Browns oh so close, 33-29 loss to the Chiefs. It was blank.
Exasperating. Mm. Obviously, this is from the perspective of Browns fans. But, Nick, and I don't want to become the king of moral victories. You know, I talked about Dallas outplaying Tampa Bay in the loss.
Yeah, here we go.
I think the Browns outplayed Kansas City. They marched up and down the field on them. 153 yards rushing, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to eat them up because the reason they lost were self-inflicted wounds. Now, I'm a guy that picked Kansas City, Nick, and I picked them to win the Super Bowl and beat these Browns in the AFC title game. I'm saying, I'm objective, all right? And this, they outplayed them, and if it wasn't for the fumbled snap on the punt, Nick, they fumbled a snap on the punt with 8 minutes left. You give Pat Mahomes, what, 15 yards they needed to score, and they did. And that was the game-winning touchdown. And then Baker's interception. I'm not going to kill Baker. He's trying to make something happen. He should have just taken the sack, but he didn't know the guy was going to clip him in his feet as he threw. I think he was trying to throw it out of bounds and throw it away, and it went short. And then Nick Chubb's fumble, only the fifth of his career. So self-inflicted wounds is what beat
plays,
Cleveland more than Kansas City, Nick. More than Kansas City.
And I love the fumbled snap on the punt was the turning point. Because without if they hadn't fumbled the snap on the punt, Chiefs would have had a long field. What do the Chiefs do with a long field? Can we show the Tyreek Hill touchdown that came right before it? Because this was a one-punch knockout. And this was why this is why beating the Chiefs is so difficult. It reminds me of underrated Damon Wayans' movie, The Great White Hype, where you have the underdog who is winning and landing jab after jab after jab. It's like, oh, could an upset be brewing? And then blammo over the top right, and it's like, what happened? The moment the Browns had just had a methodical 75-yard touchdown drive to go up 9, and then what happens? The Chiefs go full Chief, one play 75 yards, and now all of a sudden you get scared. Very next play, Baker sack. Two plays later, you're fumbling a snap on a punt. Chiefs touchdown. Couple plays after that, Baker's throwing a pick. Good night, good luck. This is the problem. Everyone's like, oh, here's the blueprint for beating Kansas City. Time of possession, run the ball. That's hard. You know what's easy? This. And you know what is demoralizing? This. And now all of a sudden, with Arrowhead, with fans in it again, full capacity, Travis Kelce, hey, maybe guard him or guard Tyreek. So, yeah, listen, the Browns, as everybody almost does, you played so well and you were so close and you could have, should have, would have, but no. You lost because you were playing Patrick Mahomes.
So annoying.
What? One-punch knockout. Put my answer on the screen, America. One-punch knockout. I didn't say that just for effect. Put it on the screen. Go ahead, Wilds. Thank you.
We get it. We get it. All right. First of all, if you want to talk about one-punch knockouts, there's literally a trillion examples. You have to be like, it's like the Damon Wayans movies. Just say any boxer. Yeah. So, unfortunately, Nick is correct, but there is still a blueprint. This was blueprint two. Do blueprint two. So this is what you have to do. Be aggressive and don't make self-inflicted wounds. They went for the two-point conversion after penalty. I like that. They were going for it. They were 3-for-4 on fourth downs. Yeah. I like that. But punters, all punters, your name is punter. Not your birth name, but that's your job. Punter. It's not punter slash runner. So just punt it. You still had a chance to punt. You drive. Punt it. Don't take off. Don't get inspired by Pat McAfee or inspired by Tyreek Hill. Wherever, just pick it up and punt it again. Just punt no matter what. No running. This never works. It never works. McAfee did one cool play, and all punters start growing their hair out thinking they can be the stars.
Jenna.
Punt the ball, my friend.
Jenna. What color's my tie this morning? What shade of red is
red.
This?
Red.
Do you know?
Chiefs red.
It's Chiefs red. Victory Monday red. Red Monday, America. Be ready for it. A lot of them. A lot of them coming up.
But those who are colorblind might have seen that as orange. I don't know if that's true. Another AFC North opponent up next for Kansas City Sunday night. Football in Baltimore. Mahomes, Lamar. I love it. Back talking Kevin Wilds, Patriots, a loss to start the season, but how should Pats fans feel about Mac Jones' pretty steady debut? All these losses that are like moral victories. Yeah. We'll dive
If they just had won, they wouldn't have lost. Another one.
Would you stop?
No huddle. No problem. I got you. Start in L.A. Matt Stafford dazzled in his Rams debut. I use that word. I said dazzled. He came, he saw, he conquered the Chicago Bears with flair. Finished 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. Here was QB1 on his Rams debut.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of anticipation for this game. You know, for me, it's a new experience for me, a new place. New stadium, new fans, the whole deal. But this team has embraced me, and I really appreciate that. You know, I've done everything I can to try to, you know, just work as hard as I can and get myself in this team. And they, they wrapped their arms around me and felt good to go out there and play with them tonight. Such incredible players on this team. I'm lucky to be a part of it. You know, I want to do everything I can to try and lead this team to where we want to go. Obviously, this is just one. Got to keep building on this, but it felt great to get out there and go play.
How about that, Matthew Stafford? So, Broussard, did last night prove that the preseason hype for Stafford and the Rams is real?
Well, yeah, it was a great debut. I mean, one of the greatest team debuts we've ever seen from a quarterback, and to do it against a defense that was in the top 10 last year they struggled a little bit, but over the last few seasons, this has been one of the league's better defenses, and Stafford proved to be all that he was advertised to be. And the thing is that they didn't even use him as much as they could. He only threw it 26 times. So imagine, there's going to be games, I'm sure, where he's throwing it in the 40s as far as attempts, and you can see big things coming. Now Sean McVay is able to use a little bit more of his playbook. They obviously had the two long passes. So far, so good for the Rams. And they're going to need to be this good because that division is no joke. Everybody won in that division.
Right. Division's totally undefeated. It's the opposite of the NFC North, where the division is totally defeated. Listen, Stafford was exceptional last night. There is no taking anything away from that. But no, it didn't answer the questions I have. The question about Matt Stafford is, how is he going to play in big moments? How is he going to play against good teams? Because despite Al and Chris doing a two-hour monologue last night about how absolutely nothing that ever happened in Detroit was Matt Stafford's fault, some of it was. And the 8-65 career record, 8-65 is what they put on the screen last night against teams with a winning record. That's a real thing. So, no, listen, I think we all picked the Rams to win that division. We think they're going to be good. I need to see him against good teams. The real story in this football game to me was the Chicago Bears' mismanagement of the quarterback situation is the type of things that should cost people jobs. Andy Dalton has no business starting in the NFL on a team with Justin Fields on it. The team was drawing dead the moment Dalton threw that end zone interception on the opening drive of the game. Justin Fields should start immediately. They play, I think, Cincinnati next week. He should be the starter and try to see if the Bears can get a good season together. That, to me, was a bigger story than Stafford, who obviously, Jenna, was exceptional last night.
All right, sit back, Wilds. We head back to Foxborough in the battle of former Bama quarterbacks yesterday. It was Tua who came out on top over Mac Jones, but just barely. Miami gets the close 17-16 win, but Mac looked pretty good, pretty comfortable. Finished with 281 yards and the touchdown, no interceptions. Most passing yards by a Pats QB in his first career start. Here was Mac on where he goes from here.
I think we can get better. That's just how we have to look at it. Definitely wasn't good enough, starting with me. So we got to watch the film, and we lost, so it's not good enough.
He's so quiet, I can barely hear him. Wilds, should Pats fans be encouraged or discouraged after the week one loss?
Encouraged, Jenna. Mac Jones, come here, buddy. I'm Robin Williams, and you're Matt Damon. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's the penalties' fault. We had 85 yards in penalties. It's not your fault. We had 85 yards in penalties, the most in 23 games. We also turned the ball over, and you did not. In fact, it's not your fault. I'll get out. Come here, Mac Jones. Come here. You cry right here on my shoulder. In fact, when you look
you
at
like,
rookie
you
quarterbacks
like that,
who started week one, guess who was the best? Oh, checks notes, of all time? His name is Mac Jones. It was not his fault.
Best
he was
time?
The most accurate rookie of all time.
Wow.
Yes, that's
incredible.
All time, my friend.
Wow.
Including, look, they got Rick Meyer,
just
solid
a who's
guy.
Who.
RG3 won rookie of the year. Yeah. Of all time, he was the best rookie, though. Obviously, yesterday as well. He was better than Trey Lance. He was better than Jordan Love. He was better than your guy, Zach Wilson.
Trey
he was better
Lance.
Than your old friend with a
for
large
a minute.
Neck, Trevor Lawrence. So, Mac Jones, it was not your fault. You did great. Incredible.
All right, Wilds, I hate to – listen, I got to talk to Wilds for a second here. Because Wilds is
sure,
a smarter football fan than he is leading on to in this segment. So I got a question for you. If Mac Jones doesn't turn the ball over,
if Mac Jones completed the highest percentage of passes for any rookie quarterback ever in his debut, why did the Patriots only score 16 points? The answer is, and you know the answer, because Mac Jones was playing with the training wheels on the whole game. It was dink and dunk and dink and dunk. And so why does that matter? Because in the red zone, that doesn't work, which is why they went 14 plays, 65 yards, field goal. 14 plays, 67-yard, field goal. 14 play, 57-yard, field goal. The one touchdown they scored came after a failed third down where they got bailed out by a very questionable roughing the passer call. So this idea, Pat, listen, the Pats are staring 1-3 in the face, staring it in the face with the schedule they have over the next 3 weeks. The idea that you should feel happy about losing a winnable game to Miami because when the offense scored 16 points, no, and you say he was better than Trevor Lawrence, I disagree. They let Trevor Lawrence go try to do things, and he threw three touchdowns, threw three picks. He's going to make mistakes. That's how you grow a quarterback. The Pats don't have enough talent, Wilds, to be able to just win games with the dinking and dunking that they had Mac Jones do. That's why you lose to Miami when Miami didn't play that well.
Okay. It was just week one. We're going to slowly grow. You know, he's not necessarily, we're on a still on a Dak Prescott, Big Ben trajectory. I was encouraged. Not happy, Broussard, but encouraged.
Yeah, Nick, you're going overboard. All right. Your boy Trevor Lawrence with the big neck. They played the Houston Texans. Okay? Matt Jones, the reason they only had 16 points is because they played Miami, which darn near made the playoffs last year and had the sixth best team in the league as far as opponent's points allowed. So that defense is stout, and that's what gave New England some trouble. Look, Matt, you're right. They didn't air it out with Mac Jones, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that game management because I'm old enough to remember, to use a certain person's phrase, to remember when Tom Brady was game managing and they were able to win Super Bowls in New England when he was a youngster.
I'm just saying,
look, Mac was fine. The only problem I have with what Wild said is when he showed that graphic, it didn't really inspire confidence when I saw the other two names on it, RG3 and Rick Meyer. Yeah. Other than that, I'm with you, Wild. This one hurt your case.
Those are the best.
You should have just had Mac. Yeah.
Best of all time.
Period.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Buffalo.
This is fun.
Head up to Buffalo.
What a football game.
This is the same Buffalo a lot of folks have going all the way this year. Not a great start. Falling to Pittsburgh, that Steelers defense able to contain Josh Allen, contain that Bills offense. Big strip sack from TJ Watt coming off a big payday. Nick, was yesterday more about the Steelers' impressive performance or Josh Allen and the way the Bills struggled?
Listen, I'd love to make it about the Steelers because Mike Tomlin, as Broussard has said, remains one of the most underrated coaches, not just in the NFL, but across all professional sports. And that Steelers defense was excellent. But when you're nearly a touchdown favorite at home, coming off the best year your franchise has had in nearly 30 years, and you get out, you're up 10-0 at the half, and then get 23-6 in the second half by a nearly 40-year-old quarterback who can't throw the ball more than 5 yards, that's about what you didn't do. And Broussard, I know everyone always says Josh Allen has a cannon for an arm. Last night it looked like one of those t-shirt cannons firing into the crowd. Whoa, my God, look at how far it is, but nobody can catch it. Josh Allen was awful. He threw the ball 51 times for a measly 270 yards. He fumbled the ball twice. They lost one of them. And you can't become the highest paid player, second highest paid player in the history of the league. And in your first game against a team where you're a touchdown favorite that people have projected missed the playoffs this year, blow a 10-point halftime lead and do nothing second half. With great power comes great responsibility. Josh Allen now is the great payday, did not live up to the responsibility yesterday for, you know, the trendy Super Bowl pick, Buffalo Bills.
All right, look, Josh was not good. There's no doubt about it. But America, let me show you how to decipher what Nick Wright is saying. Anyone who is even perceived to be a threat or even in the neighborhood of Pat Mahomes, Nick is going to destroy. So Nick just went overboard
in how bad Josh Allen was.
That Pittsburgh team, well, Aaron Rodgers is no threat. He's the previous generation.
Oh, I mean,
that
just
Pittsburgh
won the MVP.
Team. Okay, sure. This is what this was about. And I'm glad you brought up Mike Tomlin, Nick. Tomlin, this dude is a fantastic coach. Their special teams, we saw them block the punt. That was huge. The defense was tremendous. He handled the T.J. Watt situation perfectly, right? Because T.J. Watt comes in yesterday and didn't miss a beat. He had, what, two sacks and was hitting Allen all night, forced a fumble. So, yeah, this was about the Steelers going to be better than we think. And we talked about this, Nick, last week. If Baltimore falters because of the injuries, don't be surprised if this black and gold might be in that playoff race.
Listen, they're gonna have to win a lot of games like this based on defense and special teams, because I don't know about their offense. But I just, listen, Bills fans, I know you're mad at me, but this is now the cul-de-sac on which you live of alleged contenders. And if you're at home as a favorite, as an alleged contender, and you have that type of second half, there's going to be significant criticism, yep. And it's deserved for your alleged superstar quarterback. That's where you are now.
Jameis Winston had himself a day. Saints-Packers. For Jameis, a very efficient 148 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. Post LASIK Jameis, PLJ as my kids call him. No, they don't. We'll take that outing any day. We got Mike Vick here to break down all the action from yesterday. Broussard, you're so easy to please. Mike, how much did Jameis' performance surprise you?
Honestly, Jenna, it didn't surprise me at all. I had a chance to talk to Jameis about 4 months ago, and we had an in-depth conversation about, you know, just the game itself, what football really meant to him. And, you know, Jameis just kept saying, we're going to surprise some people this year. We're going to surprise some people, and they're not going to see what's coming. And he spoke with so much confidence and enthusiasm, and Jameis is a guy who really loves the game. You know, at the quarterback position, you got to have a passion for it, and he really does. And yesterday wasn't a surprise to me. When you jail with offensive coordinator, you know, when you jail with your quarterback coach, a guy like Sean Payton, and you get that information down low, and it's starting to register, and you know that you with a coordinator who's going to present the game plan that's going to be for you, you know, you can come out and you can play with the utmost confidence. And I think that's what Jameis talked about. I think that's what he illustrated. And, you know, I just couldn't take anything away from the conversation but the fact that he was going to go have success. And it was very evident yesterday. Obviously, you got to continue to do that. You know, it's week one, and it's just a stepping stone, a step in the right direction. But, you know, we want to monitor this week two, week three, week four. And Jameis knows how important it is to be consistent in the National Football League. So that's what I have my eye on. Is it going to be consistent?
Well, and I want to give the Saints credit. Listen, I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl and the Saints to miss the playoffs. And they played each other week one, and the Saints beat them in every single phase of the game. Jameis was a part of that, so they absolutely deserve credit. And I know, listen, Broussard, I know you were like, hey, Jameis, dark horse MVP. And so you're feeling good this morning. But we also have to be honest that the 5 touchdowns are a little misleading. And when I say that, I mean, there's a reason first player in NFL history with 5 touchdowns and fewer than 150 yards passing. There was, before his final pass of the game, he had 4 touchdowns and 95 yards passing. Okay? So the story of this game to me was the Saints defense annihilating the Packers. And Jameis had his touchdown passes, aside from the 55-yarder at the end. It was 1 yard, it was 3 yards, it was 8 yards. So I think that the more important number than the 5 touchdowns is the 0 interceptions, because obviously that's what got Jameis run out of Tampa, was the 30-interception season. And prior to that, the 15, 16 interceptions to go along with 10 to 12 fumbles. He played a clean game. And if the Saints defense can play anywhere close to that level that it played yesterday throughout the rest of the season, then you just need Jameis to play a clean game. But 5 touchdowns, 147 yards. There's a reason we've never seen that before. It's an anomalous performance. So I give him credit. And if he keeps playing at a consistent level, the Saints will be better than I thought. But on the bar, it looks better than it actually was if you watched the actual game.
Well, I agree somewhat with you, Nick. And I was surprised at how cautious they were early on with him. As you said, only 90-something yards for most of the game. But the pass to Deontay Harris was perfect, right? Couldn't have been thrown any better. And the thing is this, we knew Jameis could do that. That's what he gives them that Drew Brees hasn't for the last 5 years or so. So that was not a surprise. What was surprising, what we didn't know that Jameis could do, was be cautious, was be patient, was do the dink and dunk game, not make the mistakes, just manage the game and not go for home runs all the time. So that shows growth, learning under Drew Brees, learning from Sean Payton this year. This kid's only 27 years old, which for a quarterback that's not a runner, a guy that's in the pocket that hadn't taken all those hits that running quarterbacks have, that is young, especially in this day and age. Remember what Drew Brees was before Sean Payton got a hold of him. So I think this is a sign of things to come. Obviously, not predicting 5 touchdowns every weekend, but I like the fact that beyond the great throw to Harris, the fact that he was patient, he played within the game plan, he didn't make mistakes against what we think is a pretty good defense. And so, Mike, I really love the new stuff I saw from Jameis, which was the most underwhelming stuff.
Well, and I want to ask Mike a question. And I don't always mean to use Mike's career as a proxy for others, but this is, I think, a good comp here. And this isn't disrespectful to your coaches in Atlanta, but you had coaches in Atlanta that were one level of offensive coach, and then you got to Andy Reid. And I would imagine it's like, oh, my God, this is a totally different level of offensive coach that I haven't experienced before. Jameis had Bruce Arians, but he also had some less-than coaches in Tampa. And now he has Sean Payton, which whatever the criticisms of Sean Payton are, everyone knows the guy knows how to draw up an offense. How much do you think that by itself changes the quarterback Jameis can be like it was for you in Philly?
Oh, it's everything. And that's why I referenced earlier. When you get with a coach, you go through a game plan together. You look at the game plan. You understand it. You can make adjustments together. You know you're going to go into a game and you're going to have some confidence and you're going to make some plays. You know that it's a couple touchdowns that's potentially on that game plan, in that game plan. And when I got to Andy, it was just a totally different set of information that I learned about the West Coast system than I had when I was in Atlanta. But it was much appreciated. It was next level. It was very detailed. And that's what Sean Payton provides for Jameis Winston right now. And that's what he did with Drew. And Chris referenced the fact that they were able to stretch the field now, and I think that was important. Sean Payton got a lot of deep shots, down the field shots within his playbook, and if they can just execute that on the high level, if Jameis can be consistent, if it's not there, dump it down. You know, that's what Andy allowed me to do. Go downfield, check it down when you need to, be cautious with the ball. He'll get them shots called way more often.
Time now for Stories to Start Your Morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve, talking Rodgers versus Jameis, Packers versus Saints. And to the victor go the spoils. Jameis, big time victor in this one, tossing 5 touchdowns. Oh, and the best part, 0 turnovers. Saints defense picked off Rodgers twice. Head coach Matt LaFleur said his team was absolutely embarrassed yesterday. Here's how Aaron Rodgers described it.
It's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game, we got 16 to go. We've come off a couple of NFC championship games and obviously feeling good about the unit that we have on offense. That's what we talk about a lot. So this is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
Well, this will humble you, Aaron. Worst passer rating among reigning MVPs ever in a season opener. That's not great, as Nick would say. Speaking of Nick, did offseason turmoil, you think, lead to Rodgers' disastrous week 1?
Listen, you have your worst offseason of your career, and then week one you have arguably your first game of your career. I think it certainly didn't help. Now, whether that's because there was just too much going on, maybe he actually really missed the offseason programs, or it's just happenstance, I'm not sure. But the chronology of it is obviously not great, because all offseason, his trump card in the argument with the Packers has been, y'all drafted my replacement, then I won league MVP. It doesn't work as well when it's, you draft my replacement, then I scored 3 points. So, like, that's a problem. But the bigger, to me, problem, Broussard, that is indicative of a bigger trend. And, again, I've been one of Rodgers' biggest supporters. I argue with Colin about this all the time. Is when Rodgers gets beat, more often than some of the other greats, just lets go of the rope. So they've only lost 7 times under Matt Nagy in the regular season. But in the first year, San Francisco was beating them soundly. And it's like, okay, we'll get you next time maybe. 37-8 loss. Last year, Tampa, it was going well. Aaron Rodgers was doing the discount double pump in the end zone. And then all of a sudden, pick six, or near pick six. And now it's 38-10. And yesterday, at one point, it was 21-17, but that was yards to points. 21 Packers yards to 17 Saints points. Not great. But still, the Packers were alive. They were alive when they're driving down 17-3 to start the second half. Rodgers throws a pick there, which is the first red zone interception he's thrown since week 6 of 2019. And then on the very next drive, to me, as a giveaway pick, that pass he threw from the end zone, that's like a pass you throw on fourth down where it's like, well, whatever, it's same as a punt.
Hail Mary.
So I do think it's you're right. I do think, Broussard, it's problematic that what we have seen for this Packers team, as good as they've been over the last 3 years, when things start going bad, they're like, all right, you know what I mean? We'll see you next time. It's like a tennis player down 5-0 in a set. They're like, all right, just give this game away and get them next time to save energy. But that's not typically what you see from the best teams. And so that, to me, is more concerning than the offseason stuff, Broussard.
Now, look, it's fair to wonder, has Aaron Rodgers created the type of culture or led in a way that makes the team resilient, you know, and that's certainly questionable because the team takes on the personality of their quarterback. But I don't like that. Look, Aaron Rodgers won the offseason. I think most people were on his side. Not everybody, but most people were on his side. Everybody was calling out Brian Gutekunst. Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers won the best to ever do it. He's one of the best Packers ever. Sure, he should have say. Look at all the other quarterbacks that get say in front office matters and things like that. Everybody loved Aaron Rodgers. We loved the press conference, the 30 minutes where he called everybody out, right? He listed all of his teammates that had been treated unfairly on their way out the door from the Packers. The Packers themselves brought in Randall Cobb just for Aaron Rodgers. All right, they offered him a long time lucrative contract extension. He won the offseason. And then you follow it up with this. This was, I mean, it was, you said earlier, Nick, it was the worst game of his career. It very well may have been, and it was also very uncharacteristic of him. That turnover in the red zone was a horrific pass. You just don't typically see Aaron Rodgers do things like that. And you cannot follow up an offseason in which you've demanded a trade, you've skipped the offseason workouts, you've thought about playing for other teams. You've tried out as the host of Jeopardy. You've contemplated retirement. All right? And then you sit down with Aaron Rodgers, our own Aaron Rodgers here at Fox, and you tell Aaron her, Andrews. Great job, Aaron. But you Aaron tell Andrews. Aaron Andrews, I'm sorry. You tell her that you are, you have nothing left to prove on the football field. And then you go out and do this, the worst quarterback of the weekend. It just can't happen, Wiles. And don't defend him, Wiles. I can't believe you're going to defend this guy.
Well, it rings like, oh, you know, Shaquille O'Neal.
You know why he can't hit his foul shots? Too busy making those hip-hop albums. Shaq Diesel, my friend, he get on the free throw line. Free throw Diesel should be your nickname. Yes, he tried out for Jeopardy. I do not think that he was busy looking up potent potables, so he decided to start throwing the ball to the wrong team. I think that the Packers came into a focused, super focused Saints team that was sort of inspired by their relocation. Their Packers started two rookie offensive linemen. Saints took advantage of that. And they only ran the ball 15 times. Once they got down, Matt LaFleur threw out the playbook, should have run the ball more. So look, is there a 1% chance that the tumult from the offseason affected Aaron Rodgers? Yes. Is there a 2% chance? No. I don't think Jeopardy had anything to do with it. 1%. Nor do I think the Packers season is in jeopardy. I think they're totally fine.
They'll
be all right. I'm just saying.
It's Foxborough now. In the battle of former Bama quarterbacks, it was Tua who came out on top over Mac Jones, but just barely. Miami getting a 17-16 win, but Mac looked pretty good, finished 281 yards and a touchdown. Most passing yards by a Patriots quarterback in his first career start. How about that? Here was Mac on where he goes from here.
I think we can get better. That's just how we have to look at it. Definitely wasn't good enough starting with me. So we got to watch the film, and we lost, so it's not good enough.
It is not. Kevin Wildes, should Pats fans be encouraged or discouraged after the week one loss?
Oh, encouraged in a major way, Jenna. We lost the battle but won the war because... And we are pushing this narrative aside. People didn't know if Mac Jones was any good. In fact, people on this very show named Nick Wright
were like,
I don't know. Granted, he had the highest completion percentage of all college football and won a national championship. I wouldn't take him. I would take anybody else. Yeah. But we saw a lot of rookie quarterbacks, and guess who played the best? Mac Jones. In fact, if you looked at all the rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, you know who had the highest completion percentage of all time? Mac Jones. So am I encouraged the fact that he had a historically great performance? Yes. Did we have some turnovers? Yup. Did Mac Jones have any? No. Did we have some penalties? Yeah, the most in our last 23 games. Did Mac Jones?
So many questions.
No. Okay. So am I encouraged? I am wildly encouraged.
Well,
so I almost view this as a half
you
win.
Be.
I view us as 0.5-1 right now. 0.5-1. Not 0-1. 0.5-1.
You know what? We usually don't show graphics with only three names on it. I do this to our stats people. Can we expand? Can we see this other who's who of who's that?
Dusty double crossed me. Double crossed
me. Make you feel. Oh, what is that? EJ Manuel. What's he doing these days? Deshaun Kizer.
Those are good quarterbacks.
What's he doing these days? You know,
he's good.
What all of those guys have in common is their first game ever. The coaching staff said, training wheels, training wheels. And that's why yesterday, the Patriots, you're like, oh, Mac Jones didn't turn the ball over. 75% of his passes. How many points did they score? Oh, 16. In other words, the sixth fewest of any team in the league this week. And so what happened? 14 plays, 65-yard drive, field goal. 14 plays, 67-yard drive, field goal. 14 play, 57-yard drive, field goal. The one touchdown drive came after they stalled out in the red zone again, but they got bailed out by a very questionable roughing the passer penalty that ended up leading to the touchdown. So if we are being honest here, and there's the touchdown, there's a reason the Patriots, Broussard, only scored 16 points. Because they attempted nothing down the field, and they do not have dynamic weapons that are going to be able to do yards after catch to be able to give you explosive plays. So, they have this great defense. Yeah, but they just lost to a team with a better defense that's in their division that also has a young Alabama quarterback who's better than Mac Jones. So, no, I don't think the Patriots fans or Broussard should be encouraged. I think you guys both had the Patriots over the Dolphins in the playoffs. You still feel that way? You feel that way right now?
Yes,
this moment,
I do.
Broussard.
I do, Nick.
Yes.
And I do feel that way. I think Mac Jones played better than Tua did yesterday. And I think you mentioned it, the great defense for Miami. That's why they only had 16 points. All right, so give the defense some credit. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Mac Jones, and I get it. They dinked and they dunked and they were cautious. It was his first game. He's a rookie, but he will get better. I like his demeanor at the press conference. Very Belichickian, if you notice. Monotone, yes. Basic. You know, I liked when he was on the field. He didn't want the first football that he threw a touchdown pass with. No, give it. I'm focused, baby. I'm about winning. I'm about the bottom line. That reminds me of a certain other New England quarterback who will remain nameless because I don't want to put too much pressure on Mac. But, yeah,
Tony
I liked what I saw from Mac Jones. I feel good.
Okay. Well, I wonder, Jenna, what I'm interested in, will he keep his second career touchdown pass, which will probably happen around week 5. So be monitoring and checking.
I knew that was coming. Skip and Shannon coming up next. They're talking a lot of Chiefs-Browns this morning. That's it for us. Undisputed right now.